This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
With the president doing his big speech in Congress tonight, what will the Pentagon do with the extra money that could be headed its way? From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Part of any annual speech to a joint session of Congress is a president's spending goals, subject to congressional approval. The president has promised a, quote, lean budget tonight. That said, the White House has already released a budget outline that calls for a $54 billion increase in defense spending. So what's on the Pentagon's wish list? Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer takes a look.
Each branch of the military has its own wish list. The Army wants more soldiers. The Air Force would like designs for a new jet fighter. And the Navy? It wants to get its ships fixed faster, says Catherine Blakely, a research fellow at the Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessments.
So their number one priority is going to be making sure the ships they have get the maintenance they need. But they also want to start being able to grow the fleet.
But remember, Congress has to approve the president's budget. So Todd Harrison of the Center for Strategic and International Studies says,
this budget proposal may end up being largely symbolic and just a starting point in negotiations.
One hurdle, Trump would have to convince Democrats to bust through or end spending caps Congress established in 2011. In the past, Democrats have demanded more money for domestic programs before approving increased defense spending. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Also during the speech tonight, we'll likely hear about efforts to repeal and replace Obamacare. The president is running into new trouble from his own party on this one. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Dan Gorenstein has a development here.
Yeah, leaders of the 170-member Republican Study Committee and the House Freedom Caucus, or the Tea Party wing of the GOP, and even a few senators, are lining up to block a plan that's emerging in the House, which is being backed by Speaker Ryan. That House proposal would significantly roll back Medicaid expansion and swap out Obamacare subsidies for tax credits for Americans. Among Republicans, it's seen as a bit of a compromise, but those tax credits are an issue for Republicans' right flank. They're reluctant to create another entitlement program. It violates their small government worldview. If the Freedom Caucus doesn't back this bill, it seems all but dead. But David, even if this is more posturing, one source of mine said the plan probably couldn't even get more than 40 votes in the Senate. Then you've got Republican governors who are worried about losing Medicaid money. How do you spell quagmire? Health reform.
Dan, thank you. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 3 points. S&P and NASDAQ futures are little changed now. The Dow future is up 10 points. With recreational marijuana getting so much attention in the culture, it's easy to forget how far the medical marijuana industry has come since California legalized medicinal use over 20 years ago. Medical marijuana is an estimated $5 billion industry today, but as a business, there are financial hurdles that other industries don't have to deal with. Marketplace's Justin Ho visited one marijuana lab that's found an innovative financing mechanism.
My GPS tells me I'm in the right place, but the building I'm looking at looks more like a storage facility than a fancy grow lab. There's no tinfoil on the windows or purple grow lights hanging from the ceiling. Between the pressurized rooms, sophisticated lab equipment, and barcoded cuttings, this could be Pfizer or Johnson & Johnson. Only the whole place smells like weed.
Just like college. The hallway is not so controlled, so things tend to linger in the hallway.
That's Luis Mejias. He's the operations manager for PharmaCann. It grows its plants here, extracts the cannabis oil, and sells it in the form of things like vape cartridges or tinctures. The marijuana is kept in barrels in a giant vault. Mejias can't take me in there, but, he tells me,
if we were to extract what we have here, which is close to a metric ton, yielding 100 kilos of active ingredient turned into vape cartridges, is about $40
million. $40 million worth of medical marijuana. But getting there costs many millions, too. There's the state-of-the-art lab, $25 million. six-figure salaries to lure chemists and scientists from the pharma world. And then there's the price of doing business when your product is legal in some states but still outlawed by the federal government. Jeremy Unruh is PharmaCann's chief compliance officer.
Nothing's easy, and everything costs more. And everybody has a service to provide. Everybody wants to charge a premium for that service.
He says just getting a $5,000 line of credit at OfficeMax is complicated. Bank loans and mortgages are all but impossible. Entrepreneurs like Unruh often have to resort to other methods of raising capital, like draining their own investments, asking friends and family for money, or...
Or they look to a company such as ours.
Paul Smithers is CEO of Innovative Industrial Properties in San Diego. His company is a real estate investment trust, a REIT. It buys properties like PharmaCann's lab, then leases them back to the original owners, so guys like Unruh can be renters instead of owners and free up that capital to run their medical marijuana businesses.
And it also gives shareholders the opportunity to invest in a cannabis-related business.
REITs typically package properties like hotels and shopping malls and sell shares in the trust to investors. Innovative Industrial Properties is the first cannabis-related REIT. It's also the first cannabis-related company to go public on the New York Stock Exchange. Paul Habibi teaches at UCLA's Anderson School.
It hasn't been very easy for the average layperson to participate in this industry, but this is kind of one way to enter into that industry.
One risky way for now. PharmaCann's lab is the REIT's only property so far. Habibi says you need about 30 properties in a REIT to balance out risk. Still, he says if this novelty approach pays off, other unique industries might give REITs a chance. In New York, I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
And you could help me with something. I'm working on a series about the jobs of the future as more machines, artificial intelligence, algorithms, and robots enter the workforce. I'd like to hear from you if you personally have lost a job to technology. If you could, go to marketplace.org and click on the Mentioned on Air tab where there's a place to submit your story. Our producers are the aforementioned Justin Ho with his feature. Katie Long and Daniel Shin, our engineer this week, is a very good one. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. It's Charlton Thorback. We're from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.